Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Editing Sample Fabulous Cast. Gabrielle Rossman.
Rossman.
Oh, Rossman. Yes. Ah, been screwed up. Doesn't matter. Her short film, Fool's Gold, is worth watching. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Simon.
I do want a little background on this. I mean, I know you kind of presented at the beginning, but I need more information.
About Fool's Gold specifically?
Yeah, like where are you going with? Like costuming and things like that? Like, I'm a little confused. I mean, the short doesn't really explain a lot to me. I like the look of it.
Yeah.
But I need some more background, if that makes any sense to you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I call this one sort of a choose your own ending film because the ending is ambiguous and it also starts out in sort of an ambiguous way.
Yes.
Probably the longest opening scene in a movie I've ever made in terms of the amount of dialogue and the shots. Like it's just, we're just in this moment. We're just kind of like thrust into this moment. But, a little background on Fool's Gold is I lived in Massachusetts for 13 years. I just moved back to Seattle, where I had come from when I moved to Mass. And I knew I was moving and I wanted to do one last film with my friends before I moved all the way across the country. And even though I'm going back to Mass very frequently, it just felt like the right thing to do to make one last film. So I put out a call for scripts on my business page, GR Films, on Facebook, asking ideally for women writers to come forward with scripts that I could then direct and produce. And I didn't get any submissions, which was so disappointing. A person in the film industry that you probably know, Chris Salvi, he came forward and said, "Hey, I've got a script." And I've actually directed some of his stories before, and I've collaborated with him before. So I was open to reading it, and I liked it. And it was a very simple story, essentially about the devil coming to someone who is wounded and making, you know, they made a deal with the devil to get revenge. So it was a classic revenge story. And I'm in a master's program for screenwriting. And I said, this is not enough. I want more. Like there's room in this story to expand, right? Like, what is this world? And what is this character going through? And so I sort of like threw all of my influences, you know, I was an English major. And so I threw in some Chaucerian lore, and I also, you know, was in Macbeth in college. And so I threw in the witches and
they're in there.
I added a lot of extra stuff and I rewrote all the dialogue, and some of Salvi's original stuff is in there. But for the most part, I made it my own, which is what I like to do. And it was a lot of fun. So I don't know if that's enough background for you.
No,
but...
that helps me out a lot. I just wanted a little prefix at the beginning. Maybe I just needed that just to get... I felt it was too short, if that's what I'm looking at. Nothing personal. You were rushing, I felt, to get all your stuff cramped. And it was an extra... I would want 7 or 8 more minutes. And I think I would have been happy.
Yeah.
I just felt you were rushing. Maybe it was a time constraint for you, or maybe it was just a financial thing. I felt it was rushed.
Interestingly, it was rushed when we filmed it because we got onto the beach where we were filming, I want to say at like 3 o'clock, and we knew we had these very specific scenes. We had the opening scene, and then we had the scene with the witches, and then we had the ending scene, which was at night. So we knew we could shoot it chronologically, but we had to fight the light. We had to work with the light, I should say. And, you know, I remember there were a couple tense moments where the sun was going down and it was like, crap, we really need to get this stuff. I would say with a lot of indie films, they're always rushed, whether it's financial or it's fighting the sun or your location is about to kick you out, which has happened to me many, many times, multiple times. So I could see that. Story-wise, I think I almost think the beginning is too long. I cut that down as much as I possibly could, but it's definitely a world that could be explored and fleshed
Yeah,
out.
that's what I was hoping. I felt like I was just watching a snippet of a full-length film, almost like a preview. They were holding so much back from me. I was like, there's more here than I'm not getting.
Well, and also too, there's a lot of scripture in this film, so for people that are tuning in, essentially, a lot of my films I'm pulling from, I would like to say, my childhood religious trauma, and I love to infuse scripture into my films because, well, the Bible is just so beautiful. It's so poetic, and it's a fantasy within itself. I mean, there's giants and dragons and witches, and the Bible's the ultimate adventure story. But there's a lot of religious subtext in the film, and not even subtext. It's really kind of in your face. And the question of the film is everything predestined, or do we have free will? And the devil is sort of there with this vulnerable character to give her the illusion of choice, right? And then the fates sort of represent God, and they're saying, no, your future has been predestined. And then at the end of the film, we see she does get to make a choice. But then the question is, was that the choice she was predestined to make? Or does she actually have free will? And then, of course, the film is bookended with the devil giving that same choice to a new character. So it's what I always hope with my films is that they'll make people think. And if you're really glued to the dialogue and you're following the religious story that's playing out, then hopefully you'll walk away from Fool's Gold and think about fate and free will, right? That was the goal, at least.
No, I think I want to discuss costuming. Your costuming is beautiful, first off. Let's start there. Do you have like a closet full of costumes, or where do they come from?
Actually, yeah, I
Yes,
do have a lot of
she
that's
does.
I couldn't part with some of my costumes when I moved across country. I came out with two full wardrobe boxes full of costumes. I do love costumes. I usually do my own production design on my films. When I started out doing films, I mean, it's indie. I didn't know that there were specific people to do every role. So I just did everything that I could. And anything I couldn't do, I brought people in. But for me, costumes and production design, that's just an extension for me as a director of getting what I see in my head out, right? And sometimes it's actually a struggle to give the reins over to someone else because then it's like, are they gonna pick the right stuff or the right costumes? But specifically with this film, I worked with Deborah Del Negro, who plays one of the witches, and she's also the executive producer. So this film is a joint between GR Films and Del Negro Entertainment. And she was right there with me the whole time. We were scouring the internet looking for things. I sort of had inspiration. Do you know that song? Gonna have to face it, you're addicted to love.
Of course, I'm old.
I know. Well, yeah, I'm showing my age too. I think it's Robert Palmer.
You are correct.
So the makeup that they had and the slicked back hair, that was the inspiration for the look of the witches.
I totally see it now. Thinking about it, you are right.
And then, the costumes, I wanted them to be very bird-like and very, crows are oftentimes a symbol of death, so feathers for sure. We thought about doing some like jewels on the face, but I'm really glad we didn't.
No.
And we have the three robbers. That's where I'm pulling from Chaucer for people who aren't familiar. The Pardoner's Tale from the Canterbury Tales
Oh
is
my
about.
God, you're taking me back to like first year of university. Chaucer. I'm like, do I remember much Chaucer? No, I
Oh my
don't.
God. First of all, for anybody who has not watched or read, rather, the Canterbury Tales,
I
you
have.
must. Oh, they're great, aren't they?
God, you're going back a long time for me. I'm going to date myself. Hold, I am. Oh my God,
Well,
Jesus.
I mean, we're talking 1500s literature. We're talking
Yes,
like
I have read it.
pre-Shakespearean English, but long story short, there's a story in the Pardoner's Tale about the three robbers. And essentially what happens is they all end up dying because everybody's being greedy and they're fighting over this money and they're trying to be sneaky, but they all end up dying and no one gets the money. So I wanted to feminize that story. So we have the three female robbers and their costumes. I just said like punk, punk rock, or I think we said like maybe a little steampunky. And then for the devil's wardrobe, Chris Salvi had a very strong opinion about what he wanted to wear. I said, I really don't care as long as it's tailored. That's a big thing. I need tailoring. I need lines and
I'm with you.
right.
I
And
prefer it too.
we knew for sure white to open because the devil is often called the angel of light. So I wanted him for sure to be wearing white in the opening. And then he went dark for the ending, which is kind of interesting. And yeah, our main character, she's a little bit steampunky. So
Yes.
it was a lot of thinking about which colors go together and which styles kind of blend, and a lot of collaboration, seeing what people had in their wardrobe and buying the pieces that people didn't have. And it was a lot of fun. That's always my favorite part, is working on costumes and props and working with the actors.
Okay, the beach. Let's discuss the beach because we hang on this beach a lot.
Yes. Yes, that's
Where
our
is the beach? What beach is it? How long were you on the beach?
Yeah, so we filmed on Sandwich Beach, and we got that location from my very good friend, and he's a cinematographer. His name is Taiki Magyar, and he lives on Cape Cod, specifically in Sandwich. And so he knew exactly which beach we should go to. He recommended it, and that's where we went. And we did a location scout. I saw where I wanted to stage the different scenes on the beach, and we knew that we could do a fire on that beach. That was very important because you can't burn fires on every beach on Cape Cod. So that was very important that we could do a fire for that ending scene. And like I said, we got there around 3 o'clock and we were out of there by sunset, which I think was like 7. So we
Oh, that's
max.
not bad at all.
No, and I mean, the first hour was just set up. So we filmed for like 3 straight hours and then we were done. We had to be. I mean, there was no way around it.
Are we talking a summer shot or a fall shooting? I don't know when this was shot.
So we actually shot that in April of this
Oh,
year.
so it's chilly.
It was kind of cold. It wasn't bad, but but it was a little chilly.
Well,
What
nice. Your actors are very well costumed, so they're not cold at any time.
Yeah, everybody was dressed. They all had coats, basically. Sherry was probably the coldest because she had to lie on the sand.
Yes.
And that seems to be something that happens to Sherry a lot is that she ends up in these uncomfortable positions. But I don't know. We'll have to ask her on a scale of 1 to 10 how bad it really was. She didn't complain too much. She's such a trooper, and she's an amazing actress and friend. And yeah, I love all of them, actually. No one complained. No one complained about
Well, that's
being
nice to
cold. Yeah.
hear. The blood, it looked real to me, the blood. It didn't look like a CGI blood. So, how's working with blood?
Yeah, practical effects were done by Hope Bohannon, who is just the loveliest woman and such a wonderful professional person to work with. I've worked with her before on projects, and she's an incredible special effects, practical effects artist, and also makeup artist, and she can do hair, and she's really great. So she was on it. She touched up anyone's looks, and she applied the blood. And I'm trying to think what else she did. Yeah, she did a lot. She was great to work with too.
Yeah, I want a question. Did you ADR your review? Because it didn't sound like they were speaking and I was listening. Or is that sound on set? The whole thing.
Yeah, that was all boomed by Kyle Seeley.
Then I'm very impressed.
Good, I'm glad. Well,
Because
we
I
have.
thought, you could, if you told me ADR, I totally would have given it to you. Because it was so
Oh.
clear.
Kyle just moved to LA, and we've really lost a good one in Mass because he does a great job. And we also, I have to say that the reason the film sounds as good as it does, because there was some wind and there was some microphone crinkling, but Because I think we did have a couple people laughed. Maybe we had Salvi laughed. I can't remember. But post-production was done by Jay Sheehan, and he is like an Emmy-nominated sound designer, mixer, and he's pretty much the only person I ever go to for sound mixing. And you know, he put really cool effects on the witches' voices, and like he just did all those little bells and whistles that was just really nice and added a lot. So we got lucky on both production and post-production on for sound. And then I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Jeremy Aruda's score too, but I don't want to jump ahead in case you want to
You've
talk about.
actually started answering questions as you talk, and you checking things
Yeah.
off inside me. So that's fine.
I
Talk
do
about
that.
the
I'm
score. I
sorry.
was getting there next. It's great. Let's discuss the score because it's definitely there. You definitely hear it.
Yeah.
And
It's
again, I love whoever blends your sounds. I hate to hear it, but I'm so impressed with the sounds of this film. For the
Thank
amount of short film I watch and how clean your film is. And I just. I don't know how to express it. I watch a lot of short films and it's not clean, if that makes sense. But you
you.
have
Yeah.
clean sound, clean imaging, clean costuming. And I
Thank
can't
you.
express it to anybody else that way. Other director would understand what I mean, how clean it is in a short film. Can I see hundreds of short films? I judge short film festivals.
Oh, good to
I'm
know.
very impressed
Oh,
with
thank
this. I want you to know. So I will. If people are listening, I'm not trying to butter this woman up. I'm not watching your film for anything.
We just met. There's
I
no way.
just met. I am so impressed
Oh my
with this.
gosh,
So,
thank
is this
you.
just years of experience for you, or just surrounding yourself with these people?
Well, both. I mean, I am a perfectionist,
I can see
and
that.
yeah, I really am. It's not always a good thing. You know, I think I've driven some people crazy that I've worked with. Chris Esper is an amazing DP, and he's a writer and director in his own right. And of course, he also edited and colored this film. So he wore multiple hats on this. And I actually wasn't too nitpicky with him, but I mean, I have worked with him on other projects where I'm sure I've driven him crazy. And so having that sort of, I guess, care for detail and like just the need for it to be as perfect as it can be, I think that helps. And then, like you said, surrounding myself with talent. I mean, I feel like everybody that I've ever worked with is the best, you know. And there's people I still want to work with, so I don't want to offend anyone by saying that. But yes, I have worked with some of the most talented New England filmmakers and sound recordists and sound editors and colorists and DPs and I've worked with other great production designers and gosh, yeah, actors and yeah, just I'm sure I'm missing some lighting. We had great lighting on this set as well, John Westcott. And then getting back quickly to the score, I just want to tell a quick little story about that.
Oh, of
So
course.
yeah, so I was on my Facebook page and randomly came across this beautiful song that artist Jeremy Aruda had made. And if your audience does not know who Jeremy Aruda is, they should. He is a writer, director, animator. He makes like dolls and I don't even know what to call them. He is a full-blown musician and does film scoring. He's a photographer. He does his own lighting. He's incredible. I don't want to say something that will really ruffle feathers, but I think he's one of the greatest talents in New England. And I came across this song of his and I immediately messaged him and was like, can I use this? Because I immediately knew this is perfect for the film. And it just really does work. So yeah, surround yourself with talent. And actually, that was a piece of advice that I got on my very first film by someone who is a film professor in China now. He's American, but he works in China. And I told him when I did my first film, which is now almost 7 years ago, so I have been doing it for a while, but I said, like, any advice here? And he said, make sure your actors can act because a bad performance will ruin your film.
Correct.
And surround yourself with talent. And I never forgot those things, and that advice has served me really well.
I will say acting is probably one of the hardest things to do when I watch a short film. Bad acting destroys your film faster than I can get through bad lighting. I can get through bad costuming. Bad acting, I cannot because I have to sit through it.
Right. It's
And I
hard
do.
and you can see that they don't believe what they're saying, so
Yeah, a lot. I watch a lot of student shorts,
yeah.
and I'm just like, did you learn anything in your university? Because this is not correct. You guys don't shoot right. You're not. I
Oh
can
God.
get over the sound issues when you're a student. I understand you probably don't know exactly what you're doing yet, but you're exactly right. Believe in what you're saying. I don't care what you're saying. Believe in it.
That's right.
Okay, CGI effects. You didn't do those yourself then, right?
No, Chris Esper did the smoke. So the smoke is actually supposed to be her soul. It was supposed to be that he swallowed her soul, and then the thunder of the fates intervenes and says, uh-uh-uh. And he's so scared that he lets the soul go. And I'm sure that was probably fairly simple effect that he was able to get in After Effects or whatever. Maybe it was even Premiere Pro or I can't remember. I don't think he uses Premiere Pro, but he didn't complain and he didn't say it was too hard. So, we were aiming for manageable, I think it was for him. And then we did have some flaring on the fire, which we shouldn't have had, but it happened, and so he had to go in and do some effects there to try to minimize this weird green glow that was across the middle of the screen during the fire shots. But otherwise, no other effects to the film.
Okay. I'm gonna have to ask you. I do know who Chris Esper is. He's been on my show a few times. How do
Yes.
you know Chris Esper? I have to ask.
He was one of the first people I met in the New England film scene.
Okay.
So I made my first film and I started meeting people through Facebook and I started seeing which festivals they were submitting to. And I saw that they had submitted to Shaun O'Shea Film Festival. And so I submitted there and then I got in. And then going to that festival allowed me to meet basically everybody that I
Aha.
met. So
Interesting. I'll bug
that
him
is
next time I see him.
that's part of the reason that's like my favorite festival because of the community that shows up to it. It's really well attended and people are pretty friendly.
That's awesome to hear. Okay. Do you plan doing works in the future? Are you going to be basing on asking for scripts, or are you going to start writing your own things again?
So I'm getting my master's in screenwriting right now,
Oh,
and
look at you.
here in Seattle, yeah, it's killing me. It's really hard and it's one of those things where you feel like you know what you're doing, and then you start studying at a higher level and you realize you know nothing at all. And so I'm learning, better techniques on feature film writing, something that I've done very little of. I've mostly done shorts and or television. I've done 30 minutes and less usually. So writing features, I'm learning that technique, and I'm also taking a writing for television class, so learning how to write specs, and my gosh, there is so much that goes into it. I had no idea. So I do have some things that I plan to film, but one little short passion project here in Seattle, just so that I can get to know the film community here. And then I hope to be filming my first feature film that I
There we
co-wrote.
go.
And I would like, and I'll be directing it. And hopefully that's end of summer this year, this upcoming year. If not, we've been trying to make this feature for a really long time, and we just keep working on the script and working on the script. But we feel this is with my friend Emily Tulloch, who's now in Los Angeles. We feel that it's good enough to get started, and I was telling her the other day, I'm like, listen, they didn't even have the ending for Die Hard when they were filming that. So like, what's our excuse? We need to do this. So hopefully a feature and maybe one small short, and God only knows, because
Okay.
filmmaking is a sort of addiction at this point. So I'd like to say I know what's going to happen, but the film gods sometimes intervene, and who knows?
Can I have your favorite film, please?
Blade Runner.
Which cut?
You're gonna hate this. Most people do. The theatrical cut.
That's fine. So I'm good. I'm 100%
Oh,
agreement with you.
good man, good man.
I don't like extended cuts. If that's what the director gives me, that's what I want to watch. And that's
Yeah,
just me.
well, most people say they hate the voiceover. Try reading the script. The voiceover is all through the original script, and it's the worst dialogue ever. What made it into the theatrical cut, in my opinion, is beautiful. I enjoy being inside Decker's head through that film.
I'm with you.
Good.
Do you have a,
I knew
I
I
know you're
liked you.
working on your master's. Do you have a favorite film of this year that's near the end of the year?
For this year, it's really funny that you ask me that because I just saw the most beautiful film last night. Somebody had a ticket they were giving away. It's called
I'm
The Secret.
guessing Marty's what movie?
No, it's not even American. It's Portuguese, I believe. It's called The Secret Agent. And
I've heard, you know what? You're the second person to mention this to me lately.
it was
And
subtitled and
I
I
gotta.
completely hooked. Like, I left that theater last night and I said, I'm so glad I saw this before the year ended because this is my favorite movie of
Okay,
2020.
because I've heard about it. It's on my list of things to watch. Probably we do. I hate to tell people, we really don't finish all our movies in January for my normal show. We actually finish them at the end of January because I just don't have time. That
That's
Secret
right.
Agent's on my list to watch. So
It's a
thank you.
slow burn. It's a slow burn. So don't,
That's okay. I'm
like,
willing to watch it.
relax into it and then just enjoy the ride because it's like it's just a beautiful film. It's just so well done.
And my last question, one film you would recommend to people because it's just not seen enough.
Oh gosh. Well, now you've stumped me.
Oh, I'm shocked. The woman that seems to have words for everything. I've stumped her. I'm impressed. I will take that as a compliment.
Gosh, I mean, I feel like movies that, well, I ran across one the other day that I remembered and I was like, oh man, this is a great film that I kind of forgot about. And it's called The Pillow Book. It's from the 90s. And
I don't know if I've seen it.
Ewan McGregor is in it. And yeah, it was a kind of
I'll
an
have
indie
to.
film. I think it takes place in Japan. And it's all about calligraphy, like tattooing and skin, and it's told
Oh,
in
then
a
I
really
definitely
good way.
have not seen it. It does not ring a bell in any way. Oh, a movie
Yeah.
I haven't seen.
That's
Cool.
just like too complex of a question, man. I could throw out a million. Buffalo
I
66,
love it.
Secretary,
I've seen Secretary, I've seen Buffalo 66.
Chinatown. I don't
Love
know.
Chinatown.
I don't know. That's a good one. That's a great question.
I just like it. It's more for me because I need things to watch. So if somebody can stop me, I'm like, oh, Pillow Talk. I haven't seen that. I'll put that on my list. So
Pillow Book.
Pillow
Go
Book.
check out Pillow Book then.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the old Doris Day film with Rock Hudson. I think it's called Pillow Talk from 1950 something. I think that's what I'm
Oh
thinking of.
wow. Oh my gosh. You want to hear of a cool movie I just saw?
Go ahead, sure.
Who Killed Teddy Bear?
Why is you? I've never even heard of this one.
It's from the 60s. You have to find that movie and watch it.
Killed. I will.
And his grandson, the director's grandson, just put out like a director's cut, and it's got like an extra 7 minutes in it, and it is just a cool
Yeah,
film.
I will watch it because I always need more things to watch. Just let me finish off this year. I promise I will get to it. I'm very close. I think I have about seven to watch on my list, so I
Oh
will be
gosh. And I
up
just
to
gave like
date.
three more, so
They gave me two. Well, I have to watch Secret Agent. That was already on my list.
you have to.
And
Yes.
I do want to see that. So before I let you go, tell me where they can find your films.
Sure. So my YouTube page is called Joan of Art Films.
Like it.
And you can also find me on my webpage, GabrielleRossinFilms.com.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Simon. Have a great night.